I believe Joel has a few announcements to the days of living. There's so much for us to glean from and learn from this book. And like we've mentioned many a times before, to see that truly what we're experiencing today is just a precursor of what these folks were living through. They lived in some horrible moments under the dictatorship and the rule of Nero. And we can certainly have reasons to look at our day in which we live in and say that, boy, we're in really bad shape, and we are. That's not an understatement. We are in really bad shape as a country, and we must be praying for our leadership. But more importantly, we need to be praying that we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are letting our light shine, letting His light shine in these dark days. Let His light shine through our lives, and letting every moment be sacred. I think back to just this past week, and it was so funny. I had a moment with Jake when he says, sorry about bothering you. And I just about said, oh, it's no big deal. And then just go on with, get the truck fixed and let's get going, right? And, but it's like the Lord's, no, tell him who you are and what you're doing and what you've been doing. And oh my goodness, how the Lord just blew open the floodgates of opportunity. And Lord, please help every moment of every day in our interaction and in passing by people. How are we responding and interacting with them? These are important days that the Lord has us in. And are they seeing love? Are they seeing compassion? Are they seeing kindness? Are they seeing the love of Jesus in our lives? Or are they seeing just another person that's walking around angry because of the days that we're living in? And that's challenging, and I get that. I truly do. I get that completely. It's easy to be there. It was interesting seeing the trucking world as a, and I had 2 days of the glimpse of it, 1,100 miles of it. And it's a fast-paced world, and you go and go to the mechanic, and it's interesting. You got 3 other trucks that are supposed to be getting fixed, and I want my truck fixed. I need to get going. And it's crazy. I felt so bad for the mechanic. Is actually, in 2 different scenarios of listening to just this pressure and the anxiety and the anxiousness. And I heard one of the truckers saying, I think I'm just going to leave my truck and walk away from and just go do my own thing. And, they were going to go walk away and leave the truck setting. And I'm just thinking, but people are so consumed with their schedule, their time, what they want. They don't care about others. And it was just a little glimpse into another piece of the world that we're living in that was like, wow, that's hard. That's stressful. They need Jesus, right? They need Jesus is what they need, and they need to have a proper perspective. But even for us as believers, we can find ourselves having, as a follower of Jesus, having a wrong perspective in the moment. Who are we concerned about? Who are we? How are we dealing with the moment? And so, just an interesting journey this week. And I'm thankful that the Lord has opened some doors of opportunity to hopefully be a blessing in the midst of that. But the reality is, as we're living in a world today in which is so fearful, is so confused, is so isolated, and so consumed with self. A narcissistic society is what we live in. It truly is. A very narcissistic, consumed with self. My time, my way, my stuff. And so when you take and bring that into the context of where we're at today and and 1 Peter and the things that we've been learning from here, I hope and pray that we're learning some important truths from it and applying them in our lives, okay? There's not much of the book of 1 Peter that from you share these truths with a worldly person and they say, you're an idiot. Why, what would you think? Why would you perform and think and do that way? That's just not normal. Well, it's not normal because it's God's way instead of our way. Isn't that great? But we have to get our minds transformed. We do it God's way, not the world's way. So Lord, just give us that clarity of who we are in the days in which we live. Well, today's focus, we're looking at four verses, and this is really stopping, and Peter is telling the leaders of the church. He's been talking to the body of Christ. He has been speaking to the body of Christ through this book and saying, this is what you need to be doing. This is who you should be. This is who you should be trusting. You should be having a clarity that this is not your home, right, believers? This isn't your home. We're just aliens and strangers passing through, but these moments are important, very important, because they not only have significance for here and now in the influence that we have with those around us, but it also has a huge influence for eternity, thinking about ultimately when we're going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be rewarded for the things that we have done out of a love relationship for Christ, allowing him to live through us, and it's going to matter for eternity. And so we see this glimpse come up over and over through the book of 1 Peter here of looking forward to the Lord's return. And that is true again this morning here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Follow along as I read this. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the focus of this passage is clearly on the leadership of the church. He's been talking to the church as a whole. Church, this is what you must be doing. This is who you are, so on. Now he turns to the elders and he says, listen, in these important days in which we are living in, and there's trials and suffering and persecution, lead the flock well. Lead the body of Christ well. But you have to take the lead. You have to step out and be that leader in the day in which we live. And so that's the call upon us as elders, as pastor elders, overseers. We are called as God's design. This isn't our idea that, oh, well, we're going to set ourselves up as elders over you. And no, we're going to see that God ordained eldership. It's God's design. It's his structure for the leadership within the church. I believe it's the biblical condition or view is elder rule of a church. It's not congregational rule. It's elder rule. That's what we see in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and that's who we are. That's who we've been ever since I've been here. That's been our focus, is to make it elder rule. And it's biblical. It's God's way. And I believe when the body of Christ and when those who are in leadership, as we have experienced, and I can say with such joy and gratitude as the under-shepherd, ultimately overseeing this flock over the last 19 years, yet having wonderful under-shepherds by my side to serve with me, and who are godly men, who take serious the word of God, but not in ways in which create a focus upon our authority and who we are, but being servant leaders. And I believe God has blessed that, and certainly we're not perfect. And it's something that we continue to pray for, is for God to continue to be raising up young men to take on this role in leadership, of eldership, of taking the truths of God's word, because it is something. If you don't have strong leadership, godly leadership in a church, you see where churches are today. You see where they are today. And again, I am not saying that we have it all figured out and we are it. No, but I believe that God has done so well. He's been so gracious to us. We don't have so much of the brokenness that we see so many churches going through. We haven't experienced that. And I have to say, it does come back to doing it God's way. And I think if we are faithful to doing it God's way, as Peter says here, in these days especially, you're going to have to make decisions, elders and leaders of the church, that are not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to do it because it glorifies and honors God. And so then it's always the prayer is that as a flock, that the flock sees the heart of the leadership wanting to honor God first and foremost, and then to follow in a God-honoring footstep. And I believe we have experienced that and seen that. So please understand, as we look at this, certainly not coming from a standpoint of, boy, we've sure done it right. We've done everything. No, God has been so gracious to us, though. And I will tell you, as the pastor, to have elders that I have serving with me, and then to bring Joel on as another pastor within our midst, and what a blessing. We are rich as a church body, and I hope that we never lose sight of that. But boy, keep us in prayer. Because, you know, we think back to 2020, some decisions had to be made. And a lot of churches chose to keep doors closed. But you know what? We as an elder group, we decided that's not what God has called us to do. And so I have a feeling, and I am certain, that the coming days we're going to have many more bigger challenges to deal with than that. But we pray that you will follow along, not because of our authority, but because I hope we have the heartbeat of Jesus in wanting to honor him above all, and to follow along as we do and we have been. It's so beautiful. Well, Peter was appealing to those as fellow elders. He could have said that he could have come, as we see at the beginning of 1 Peter, that he is an apostle. And he was. He was an apostle. But he came as a fellow elder, and he was proclaiming to the other elders within the churches in the area in which he was speaking to. And he says, it is important, elders, pastors, overseers, that you take your role and responsibility very serious, because the body of Christ needs godly leadership to follow and to be led by, that they will always be pointed back to him, right? It's about what he wants for us. Something for us to understand in this passage is that as he's talking about elders in the church, this is not my church. For Lee and for Lance and Lee and for Joel, this is not their church. We don't own you. This is, you are God's body. You are the body of Christ God has called you as the body of Christ to come. And he has given us a stewardship as leadership, as elders, to lead you lovingly and to care for you and to oversee you and to mentor and to protect. You know what? I've got myself in trouble through the years at different times, maybe for calling out individuals in our society today, pastors that are flat out heretics, and I have no problem saying that. But I feel that we have to do that. That's something that, as a pastor, I have got to guard the flock from those whom are not connected with truth. And my friends, we've got so many out there today that are disconnected from the cross, disconnected from Jesus. It's about health, wealth, and prosperity. And I just have to say, I'm always going to, with the help of the Lord, be sensitive when in everything, but to certainly guard the flock, because there are so many out there today that are leading so many people astray. And so we're to protect, okay? Well, in verse 1, to the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock. Did you hear that? Be shepherds of God's flock. It's his sheep. You are his sheep, okay? It's not about us ruling over you. And for that matter, I am a part of his flock and put in the role and responsibility as a overseer, a shepherd, an under-shepherd of the flock, as is Joel and as is the elders. And we continue to pray for godly men who will, in a biblical fashion, find themselves prepared and ready to step into that position also. Elders are to shepherd God's flock. The church, the body of Christ, is the flock and is the Lord's. It's the church, it's the body of Christ, it's called the flock, right? And it is the Lord's. All of us ultimately submit ourselves to him. He is the shepherd, right? He is the good shepherd. We are the under-shepherds, okay? Some have said that I'm the German shepherd. Maybe so. The role that a shepherd plays is to make sure that the sheep are fed and watered, to make sure that the sheep are cared for and protected. He has to find a place, the ground and the water, to protect them from predators, to protect them from eating something that's noxious to them. Unfortunately, there's believers today and so many people who are consuming noxious things, things that are leading them away from the truth of God and his word. It's not based upon the love and the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus, but it's upon them. It's about building themselves up and making them something so great. And that's so broken and so wrong. This is what he does, but he builds around this responsibility, the main responsibility, making sure that they continue to be fed. The flock, the sheep, continue to be fed and watered so their life can be nourished and that they can grow to maturity. But it's important for us to understand, my friends, that it is not a pastor's responsibility or the elder's responsibility for you to be fed and nurtured on a daily basis. You have to take ownership of that. That is your responsibility, and it should be with joy to get into the word and to be fed and to be nourished and to be watered by the truth of God and his word daily and growing in the grace and knowledge, because I'm telling you, you're going to need that foundation. You're going to need that encouragement on a day-to-day basis, because I'm telling you, from Sunday to Sunday, a lot goes on. And if you are not tethered to the truth of God and his word waiting for Sunday, you can come very depleted. And it's true, we can feel that way. I personally, I'm the one that's coming and it's the one sharing, and there's a lot of energy that goes into that, but I love Sundays. I love nothing more than getting together with the body of Christ, and I love hearing from you what God is encouraging you with as we share in our time of sharing of Bible verses and in our time of visiting in the back and just being able to be together as the body of Christ. It is so good. I treasure Sundays. It's a beautiful time as we gather together as the body of Christ, and I hope that you never lose sight of the value that God has placed upon the church. The church, the body, which is a togetherness. Okay, we all have our parts and our places. We all have our responsibilities and our gifts, and he wants us to be used in that. Well, so a good portion of these four verses are really talking about in what manner does the elder function? In what manner does the elder function then? Okay? The elder has elders, pastor, teacher, pastor, shepherd, overseer, all synonymous words in Scripture, are those who are responsible for the spiritual nurturing and caring of the flock from a week-to-week basis as far as corporately as a body. And so coming together to be encouraged from the truth of God and his word and to do that together, to actually have fellowship together. Zoom and Facebook are great in a pinch, but you have no fellowship. You have no togetherness, and the body of Christ is called to be together, to be encouraged and nurtured and enjoy fellowship. You and I were created for fellowship with him and with the body of Christ, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful when we see it for what it is. In what manner is an elder to function? First of all, we see here in 5, the end of it, it says, I'm just going to go ahead and start the beginning. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and the one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Peter saw Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He witnessed it, and he's looking forward to his glorious coming, return, and him to share in God's glory in heaven. And he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. That's the first thought, or the first role and responsibility, an overseer. An overseer is, he is to be an overseer, to be a caretaker. Just as sheep need a shepherd. I had the privilege of having sheep, as I've shared before. Sean's favorite thing, a favorite animal that we had on the ranch. And it was a lot of fun, but it was also pretty humbling to see how stupid. Did I hear somebody say that? How stupid they are. And that's us. We need a shepherd. We need somebody to lead us to water, somebody to protect us. It's amazing. If I didn't go out and gather the sheep each evening, you know what? They'd stay out there and they'd probably wander if I didn't do that. I always would bring them in, but they would wander away. And if they get too far away from home, they won't find their way back. They're just that dumb. They don't know how to, but if you keep them somewhat in the area in which they're familiar with and protect them. I had a miniature donkey that went out and was a great protector. Never did lose a sheep to a coyote. And I think old Drizzy did her job well when I wasn't there to shepherd them. But the importance of being cared for, having one to keep watch and to see to it that they were getting proper feed and water and that they would be cared for. Well, you and I need the same care. And God has designed the elders, pastors, overseers to take on that responsibility to, as the body of Christ comes together, for us to nurture, to care, protect, to warn you of things, and to be faithful in doing what God has called us to do. And it's so beautiful when we function, I think if we function as we're supposed to, it should be very easy to be led and to follow and to be cared for by those in authority over you. It should be. And I hope that that's been our journey. I hope that that's what we can all say we've experienced. Granted, it won't be done perfectly, but we need to make it right when it's not. Okay? He is to be an overseer, a caretaker. A shepherd has to see to it that sheep are being watered and fed. They're to be protected, protect the sheep from danger, and guide the sheep to a place of nourishment. He is to carry out his responsibilities willingly. And I can see right now we probably will not get through this, but that's okay. He's going to take his responsibilities willingly, not under compulsion. As we see here in this passage, it says, "Overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be." An elder, a pastor, an overseer is one that sees it as a privilege and as a stewardship. And I pray for this weekly. Lord, whoever you bring into our midst, I pray that you will help us as leaders, first and foremost, to be good stewards of those who come. A stewardship, we have a responsibility to be faithful to what God brings into our, who he brings into our midst, to love them where they're at, and then pray that we can lead them without compromise to the truth. If those that come do not know Jesus, to be a good steward of them, to love them, and to be a beautiful picture. But you know what? All of that isn't responsibility isn't left to the elders and to the pastor. The body of Christ, we're to teach you, we'll be looking at that later, we're to be that example as elders, as a pastor, to lead the way. But the body of Christ, you all have a tremendous responsibility. I pray that you yourselves will look at each other as a stewardship. As brothers and sisters in Christ within the body of Christ, I have a responsibility to love and care for those who you put in my midst. To love them, encourage them, pray for them, care for them. It's not the pastor and elders' sole responsibility. We are to be the example, and you are to follow. And you know what? You as a church family do an amazing job of that. And it's so neat to see. And I want to encourage you in that and continue to do it. And it's fun to see how the Lord continues to grow us in those ways and in different ways, how the Lord lays certain things on individuals' heart to be passionate about. And so they take on that responsibility and use it for the benefit of the body. It's so good. But we're to have a willingness to function, where to serve as leaders, not to function under constraint or compulsion. The elder is to accept his job out of his free will. I was raised in a church in which it wasn't elder rule, it was congregational rule, but it was just somebody else's turn. It could be a man or a woman. It didn't matter. And we could get into this. Scripture is so clear that elders and pastors are to be men. That's God's design. That's not us saying, oh, it's just all about, no, that's just God's design. And we're not going to get into that today, but I think back to the church I was raised in, and it was just somebody else's turn. They didn't have to have any qualifications. God's word gives us clear qualifications of what a pastor, shepherd, elder is supposed to have in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. But that wasn't the goal at all. It wasn't about qualifications. It was just somebody else's turn. And I can remember certain people, I don't really want to, but okay, I will. But that's not, there's not healthy leadership there at all. And unfortunately, we saw that from time to time in that church. So, what is the manner the elder should function as an overseer? He's to do it willingly, doing it with the heartbeat and the mindset of Christ, of what a privilege you have given me, Lord, to be in the position that you have, that you've called me to, and being willing to submit and say, yes, I choose and agree, and I'm willing to be in the position that you've called me to be. But it's God's calling upon our lives. But do we not believe and know that, as he says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. Ultimately, when we desire what God wants and God leads in our heart, our minds will be in conjunction. And so we will function with willingness and with his heart and his mind. He is to carry out his responsibilities willingly. The elder is to accept his job with a free will, okay, not out of compulsion or, I guess I'll go ahead and do it. He is to serve according to the will of God, God's will. It is important. Theology, doctrine, all of those things are a must to care about. Those things matter within the context of the church. Where do we stand? What do we believe? What do we know about Scripture? And are we committed to being obedient to what God has called us to? Or are we determined that, you know what, I don't really like this part of Scripture, I don't like that, and so we pick and choose, and unfortunately we see that's happening in our culture and in our churches all over the place, the deviation from the truth of God and his word. That matters to us greatly with regards to our leadership of this church. I would dare say that looking at other examples through my years, when an elder passes away or moves away, whatever, there's a huge mad rush that, oh, we have got to fill that spot. No, you don't. If you don't have somebody that you know with great confidence has the heart and mind of Jesus and is a servant leader and has the love of God in his word and treasures it in his heart and is committed to standing to it, you don't, and it doesn't have the qualifications to be there, you don't need to, but you certainly need to have a plurality of leadership, of elders. And that has been something we've, through the years, we've been running low. But on the other hand, we want to make sure that the leadership that we do have is got the heartbeat of Jesus to the best of our ability. And when we stumble, we get it right. And Lord, please keep us tethered to that as elders of this flock, that we will be that kind of men and lead well. Living according to the will of God, or serving according to the will of God. That is something, and we're going to look at the rest of this next week. But this isn't just with eldership or with leadership within the church. Again, it goes back to us in our personal walk with Jesus. My friends, who are you seeking to have acceptance from? Who are you seeking to praise you? Who is it that you're seeking for acceptance? And that song that we sang was so perfect, talking about just that, of where is your acceptance, your security, and all of these things. Where are you trying to seek that out in? if you're not coming back to this and saying, Lord, I just want to represent you well. I just want it to be done your way. I just want your will to be done in the midst of my life as I serve as a father to my children. You moms, for your mothers, as a mom for your children. We all have layers of responsibility and stewardship, and we could apply a lot of these things, honestly, that we're learning with regards to what the importance of what we as elders are to be doing within the flock, the body of Christ. We all have responsibilities in many different ways as an employer or employee of being a good steward and doing it with the will of God, having the will of God at the heartbeat of what we're doing. Is it something that reflects him? If it's not, Lord, will you please change my mind and change my heart, change my ways, get my thoughts lined back up with what you say is good and right. But as Peter's mentioning here, it's a challenge to the elders. Shepherd the flock. Will you pray for us as elders and as pastors that we will do that well? That we will do it with the heart and mind of Jesus, that we will continue to lead and to shepherd and to protect you all with the love of Jesus and with the mindset that he matters most. Please be in prayer for that. But what a privilege it is to be your pastor, your shepherd. Thank you for being who you are for me, and I know for the elders. We are a blessed people. And I tell you guys that over and over, and I don't know if you believe it and if you understand it, but I'm telling you, we are a unique bunch of people right here. We are, and we are blessed. Lord, guard our hearts and our minds. Keep us tethered closely to the truth. That you be glorified in this body. And Lord, continue to bring the people of your choosing for us to serve together, minister together for this community and surrounding communities, for his glory. Amen. You just stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder for us as elders, as pastors, overseers, Lord, to take serious the role that you have called us to shepherd the flock. Lord, thank you for sheep that are tender. Thank you for sheep that are willing to first and foremost be listening for your voice. Lord, that they see and know the truth because they know you. And then, Lord, we have the privilege as under shepherds to encourage and to shepherd and protect and guide the body as a whole. Lord, thank you for these opportunities. Thank you for this local body. What a joy it is to serve together. And Lord, where we fall short, I pray that you will just lovingly show us and help us to then get our heart and our minds right and be ready to be involved where you want us to be involved as a church family. But Lord, continue to raise up other godly men within our body, Lord, who are committed to the role and responsibility, as you call them, to eldership. Lord, we just ask for you to continue to work there. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We love you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You're dismissed.